So I called the Shir College Rose Cola. And what separates the right-wing orthodoxy from non-orthodoxy in the United States and also in Israel is pretty much the attitude towards secular studies. All right? Is basically, certainly in Israel, there's two basic communities. There are those who work and don't or rarely learn. And there are those who learn and don't or rarely work. That's sort of like either or. Okay? We have like two different types of communities here and in the United States as well. And that's what I really like to discuss. In the United States, it's not nearly as severe as here in Israel. In the United States, I would say about 50% of, I don't know, we'll call them Haredim, go to work after high school, and 50% continue learning in yeshiva. And amongst those who are married, so it's probably like over 80% of Haredim who work, 80 to 90% who are working, and others who are making learning full-time. In Israel, it's almost the opposite. It's just like 80 to 90% of Haredim are learning, they're in kollel, and if you work, you're looked down upon. Okay, one of the rabbis here told me that he was like, wanted to put his son in a cheder, and they asked on like the application form, does your father work? And if he does, they're not really going to accept him into the cheder. My father has to be in learning. If he works, it's sort of weird because now if he works, he can actually pay tuition. But anyway, so like that's the thing. This is like the ideal. If you work, it's like second rate. Now, what I would like to do is talk about, so what is, you know, is it okay to work for the sake of Parnassa? Is it okay to go to college just because you want an education? Is it only okay to go to college to learn a job? Is it okay to go to college? Maybe my job as a Jew is to sit and learn Torah. So let's start off with the most basic source. So apropos, because soon we're coming up to Lag BaOmer, has a famous story of Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, Gemara is in Brachos, Lamed Hei Amid Bet. Quotes the Pasuk Kriyat Shema, the Asafta de Gancha. Right? You gather in the grain. Says the Gemara, Hineg Behen Minag Derech Eretz. The Rebbe Yishmael, what is that telling me? I have to work the ground. The Asafta de Gancha, I have to work and harvest the ground. I'm supposed to be out in the field working. Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Efshar, really? You should be out in the fields? Adam choresh b'shat charisha. The person is plowing when it's time to plow. Zoreya b'shat zriya. Planting in a time to plant. Kotzer b'shat ksira. Harvesting when it's time to harvest. Dash b'shat stisha. Threshing when it's time to thresh. Zore b'shat saruach. Winnowing when there is wind. Torah matele. Does he have time to learn Torah? Ella. Rather says, Rav Shimon Yochai. B'zman shi Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. When a Jew is doing what he's supposed to be doing, others will take care of it and provide for the Jew. Others will come, foreigners will come, and they will graze your sheep. We're not doing God's will. Then we'll have to work. Now, in and of itself, this machlok is really problematic. Tosas points out, Asapta Diganecha is from what part of davening? Shema. And it's in the part of the davening, Bahaya in Shema Tishmur al Tasad. If you are listening to my mitzvot, then all these good things will happen. Shema Yochai is saying, oh, you're going to have to work if you're not listening to my mitzvot. So Tosas tries to deal with that. Personally, I think the question is stronger than the answer. But that's, be that as it may, when machlok is Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Should I work? Yishmael says, yes. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if you work, who's going to be there to learn Torah? Sometime later in the Gemara, Abayi pipes in. Omer Abayi, Harbi Asuk Rabbi Yishmael, Val Tabi Adan. Many people conduct themselves like Rabbi Yishmael, and things worked out. Ki Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, people tried to act like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Velo Al Tabi Adan. And it didn't work out. Right? They didn't have large amounts of money deposited in some offshore bank account while they were sitting and learning. So this is what our Gemara says. And from this, what do we see? Shimon Yochai says, learn all day. Others will support you. According to Rabbi Yishmael, he he would say, I don't know that phrase that Rabbi Shem Shaval Hirsch made popular, Torah im derech eretz. You work, you learn. When it's time to learn. When it's time to work in the field, work the field. But this is the profession of the time of the Gemara. Okay, people work the field. People were agricultural. Okay, there were also people as shoemakers and tailors. But for the most part, this is what people did. And that's the example they gave. Today it would be, I don't know, you learn computers. You learn some sort of trade. And it's, we learned Kiddushin last year. One of the mitzvahs that a father has to do towards his son is to teach him a trade. So this is what it seems that we should be doing. We should be working. If we need to go to college to learn that, pardon me? Right. And he hits him when he's learning, right? Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, it talks about going to davening, shachris, you finish davening, and this is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, acharkach yelech la'askav, afterwards go to work. This is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say continue in kolo. It says afterwards go to work, the whole Torah she'eni mamalacha sova betela. Because any Torah that is not supported by your work, in the end, you'll just have bitul Torah. Vigoreret avam, it'll also cause sin. Ki ha'oni yavireno al das kono. Because your poverty will turn you against God. You'll be saying, I don't get it, Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sitting and doing what you want from me. I'm sitting and learning all day, and yet my kids are hungry. Like, how can you do that to me? So Shulchan Aruch is saying, go out and get a job. But umikomakom lo yaset malachto ikar, your livelihood should not be the ikar el arai. It should be somewhat temporary. The Torah tal keva, Torah should be permanent. If you do this, everything will work out. Josh, you had a question?
Yeah. So I have a friend in Togo, and we had arguments. He said the only way to achieve the vekus is through being called out and being a job. It fits into the category of things that distract you from the vekus. Does being a job take away from you achieving that vekus?
Look, it would sort of depend how you view your job. The Hasidic approach is that you look at your job as this is also how I am serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you are a tailor, if you're trying to do your best job to give people the finest quality, like if you view that as a shlichut, then no. If you feel that the only shlichut you can do is learning, then yes, you will absolutely feel that is distracting me from my dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a very single-minded approach, which I'll come back to. Okay? It might be. Look, I personally have no problem with the American Haredi approach, different than what we have here. Here, let's say in the modern Orthodox world, you send your kid to yeshiva for a year or two, in a tiv maybe three, and then it's off to college. While the Haredi people in America go off to, let's say, Mir, the understanding is you're learning 4 or 5 years before you go off to, college. Like I said, Americans, most of them do go to work. Haredi Americans, I assume in England as well. But they just say, but let me be established in my Torah and my learning and my ava of learning and my skills in learning, and then I'll go, and then it'll be easier for me to continue. I just come to yeshiva for a year. You just look around your community and you can see the people who are in yeshiva for a year. Right? Might have made an impact enough that they're still in a shul, but not enough that they're very serious. So, I wouldn't say kola, but I'm going to get to open in the kola, short kola, I'll get to that. Now, what is making your work keva and arai? What does that mean? So, simple thing would be hours. The Rambam felt, work for 3 hours, learn for 9 hours. Okay? There are some jobs that you can support a family doing that. I can think of a professional athlete. Yes, you play one ball game and you can support your family very nicely. Most of us aren't professional athletes.
We got to train for 8 hours
right.
To get there.
Right. A surgeon,
Rambam
but like he's.
Wasn't the Rambam always a doctor?
He wasn't always a doctor.
No, but wasn't he? Wouldn't he ride his camel and fall asleep?
And he said, I have no time. He didn't even want to see a student. I have no time for you. But I'm saying, this is what he writes in his halachot.
Okay.
I'm just saying, the Bali Musar, they view it differently. They say, what for you is the ikar part of the day? It's a beautiful approach. Right? I knew people, two guys, friends of mine from YU. I went back to America like 25 years ago. And I got some people that I knew. I'd done this when I was living in Neve Daniel. I made a chabura of guys who knew how to learn. And we met twice a week, Shabbos and one of the days of the week when I was in Neve Daniel. And we took turns giving each other shir. We would prepare on our own the Amud of Gemara. And we took turns giving shir on that Amud. It was very nice. So I said, oh, let me do that now in New Jersey. And I knew two guys and they knew others. And these guys, one was a doctor, one was a lawyer, but they looked forward to their chavrusa at night. They had a chavrusa like at 10 o'clock at night. And that's what they look forward to during the day. So they might be working. I always felt that their 1 hour of learning was probably better in God's eyes than all my learning during the course of the day. These are the people that have these hard jobs, they're zonked, and they say, but I have to go to my chavrusa now. Like, I think that's amazing. I had like a lot of respect for these people. I still do. Okay? So that would be like the Bali Musar, the Kavua and Arai. And I was told by a Haredi friend of mine that there's some guys in yeshiva with me who they learn all day, but they look forward to when they get home and they play the stock market. So like, you know, what's part of the day they're looking forward to? Could be, you know, Kavua and Arai. But I'm just saying this is an idea. Now, based on what we just said, based on the Gemara, based on the Gemara tradition, it would seem as if everyone should learn a trade. The Rambam goes so far as to say, Hilchos Tam Torah, Kol Mesim Ali Bo She'asok B'Torah V'lo Ya'aset Melacha. Anyone who thinks in his heart that he should learn Torah and not be involved in a job, be for the same minute tzedakah, should be supported by charity. Hareze Chilul Et Hashem. Pretty harsh words. Rambam would say, every kol is a Chilul Hashem. That's what he's saying. Ubiza et a Torah, you're denigrating the Torah. The Chava Ma'or Hadat, you're extinguishing the light of Torah. The Goreim Ra'ala Atzmo, causing yourself evil. The Natal Chayav, you're taking your life. Mina Olam. Bisha Asr La'not Medivrei Torah Ba'olam Hazeh. Not allowed to get Hana from Torah in this world. Now, that would include not just Kol guys, that would include me. How am I allowed to get paid for teaching Torah? Right? So I used to make fun of Rav Korn all the time and say, I don't know what your heter is. I'm getting paid for babysitting, you know? So at least I'm okay. I could take my, you know, I have no problem taking my salary. I'm not even a high-paid babysitter. And, you know, like, and I'm that's my job. You, I don't know. You know, your guys sit there. Like, I made fun of them once we were on a trip. And, like, they announced, the Majorich announced, oh, I just spoke with Rabina, so we're getting back late. Afternoon Seder is canceled. And, like, two of guys from Rav Korn chair said to me, he goes, oh, can't we just learn in the afternoon anyway? I said, of course, I said, my guys never say that to me. But, you know, I said, you shouldn't even get paid. Anyway, so what is the heter to take money for learning? What is that to take money for teaching Torah? So three ideas are brought down in the Rama. One, skar batala. You, okay, let's say Avadia, you're supposed to teach your kid Torah. Let's say you don't have the time. Let's say you don't know how. So you hire me, and you say, can you teach my son Torah? I said, I'd love to. I don't have time. So you say, I'll pay you, instead of going to work, I'll pay you now, teach my son Torah. That's called Skar Batala. Okay? So that's for teaching for sure, and maybe for learning as well. We could say if we think it's important for someone to learn so that we have learned people in Klal Yisrael, right? What's the purpose of, let's say, a kola? We want learned people. If you just sit there and learn Shana Aleph, you're not going to become a posek, right? So maybe in order to be a posek, you need to sit there and learn 20, 30 years. So if we feel that's important, so it's Skar Batala. Otherwise, this guy would have had to get a job. He wouldn't have been able to become, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein. So we say, we'll pay Skar Batala. So that's heter number one. Heter number two, Yisachar and Zvulun. Okay, we've all heard of this idea. It's found in a Midrash, based on Psukim, that Yisachar learned and Zvulun supported him. And that's not, it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah, not found in the Rif, the Rush, or the Rambam, but it is brought down in the Ramah, the idea of Yisachar and Zvulun. And you could have people that they're being supported by others, and they share the schar. The Chavetz Chaim gave tremendous musar about this. He once yelled at his students in Radin and said, you know what's going to happen? Some wealthy guy's going to go up to Shemayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, did you learn Torah? He said, I didn't really have time, but I supported the Yeshiva of Radin. And God's going to say, whoa, big mistake. Look at the guys. They're not learning. You bet on the wrong horse. This is what Chavetz Chaim's Musar says. How could you waste any time? This guy's depending on you. You're taking a break? Take a break. Right? Now, I'm assuming the Batala in Radin was not like the Batala here. But so imagine what the Chavetz Chaim would say to us. But anyway, something to think about. Yisachar and Zvulun. Third idea. Horat Sha'a means extenuating circumstances. Both Rav Aaron Cutler in the United States and the Chazon Ish in Israel felt 90% of Orthodox Jewry wiped out in World War II. We need to build up Torah Jewry. And therefore, we need to do whatever we can to bring back Talmidei Chachamim. And that's the call of the hour. Okay. One could argue that that might have been true 70 years ago. Is it still true today? We have so many people learning. But I'm just saying, as far as what the heterim are, these would be the heterim. Now, if so, based on what I told you in the Gemara, everyone should go out and learn a trade. Maybe you could stay in the mirror for 5 years first, whatever, and learn a trade, right? But people like to quote the Bir Halacha. Who wrote the Bir Halacha? Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says, pay careful attention to what it said in the Gemara. Harbe asu ki Rabbi Yishmael va'al tabi adan. Many conduct themselves like Rabbi Yishmael and it went well. Ki Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and it didn't. Yes, if the masses try to just dedicate themselves to learning, it won't go well. But individuals can say, I'm not like the masses. I'm special. I want to be in Toma the rest of my life. I want to. You know what I'm saying? I want to dedicate myself to learning. And you're right. It's maybe not for everyone. But he quotes the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel. Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel is talking about Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is different. Shevet Levi was supported by Klal Yisrael. They didn't work. They were teachers. And they went to the Beit HaMikdash. And they got Meiser. They didn't have fields of their own. They were supported with the Meiser of Am Yisrael. And the Rambam waxes poetic, and everyone could be like Levi and dedicate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore people say, using the Rambam, using the Bir Halacha, I want to be like Sheva Levi. I'm going to sit, I'm going to learn, I'll be supported. Sheva Levi was supported, and I'm going to be supported. And therefore, I'll revise what I said. Going to college and learning a trade is mutter for almost everyone, but maybe some people, they shouldn't be allowed to do it, because they are the Yechidei Skula, the special people that Klal Yisrael needs to be the next, you know, Talmidei Chacham of Klal Yisrael. Okay. So for most of you, I can really stop. For most of you, unfortunately, in my eyes, all you're going to do is learn business and go to business school and learn business. I went to a liberal arts college. You know, is it okay, right? I assume Joshua was going to do something similar. Is it okay to learn things that are not necessarily for the sake of your parnasa? Am I allowed to read literature? Am I allowed to read history, sociology, psychology? You know, am I allowed to learn things lo lishma, not for the sake of lishma? Here I'm saying for a parnasa, not for the sake of parnasa. Am I allowed to do these things? And this is pretty much where you get the split between the right wing and the modern Orthodox. The right wing pretty much has no problem with you going to Torah Vadas and Brooklyn College at night, going to Neri Sorel and John Hopkins at night. You know, that's okay. And you can go to a trade school. And I'm personally very much in favor of trade schools. I think it's ridiculous in the modern Orthodox world. They think that everyone has to go to college. Go to a trade school. Learn a good, honest living. You don't have to go to college and have a white-collar job. You can become a plumber, an electrician, a mechanic, a gardener, and make more money than I do. Right? You don't have to be in a white-collar job. But unfortunately, at least in the modern Orthodox world of America, oh, that would be a shanda. It could be a plumber. And I tell it to my students, they start naming ethnic groups. Oh, you know, this ethnic group does the gardening. This ethnic group does this. Like, okay. In Israel, I had firm people that did all of those things. But anyway, be that as it may, in the right-wing world, if you leave the walls of the Beis Medrash, college education is at best b'di'evet. It's at best a big bittul zman. Bnei yeshiva are supposed to spend as much time as they can in yeshiva, support themselves, support their family. Okay, this is the right-wing approach. Support themselves, support their family. When they feel that they can't, or when they feel that they're not going to be successful in this field, so then you should pursue some sort of job, preferably in like clay kodesh, some holy job like I'll be a teacher, which I really find odd. Just because you know how to learn doesn't really mean you know how to teach. Many of us have had teachers who don't know how to teach. And or be a moel, be a shochet, be a sofer. You know, learn some sort of job revolved in mitzvah. And if none of that works out, go do a job that you don't need to go to college for, i.e. business. That's why you go to 42nd Street, you know, in the Diamond District or the all the different places in New York, and you have all these chassidim that are running all the businesses. You don't have to go to college to do business. B&H. What? B&H, right? All the appliances that you bought before you came to Israel. Okay, great. And then if you say to a right-wing person in the United States, what about the pasuk that says, you know, there's a biblical mandate to work the land? That's for goyim. Goyim should do that. Our job is to be a mamlechas kohen and a goy kadosh, and that's what I choose to do. And this is pretty much the view of most right-wing yeshiva guys. Now, it turns out that they will have right-wing yeshiva lawyers and doctors, but those are usually Balei Tshuva. Right? They first became doctors and lawyers, then they became Haredi. And then the Haredi community is very happy. They have a Haredi doctor they can go to, a Haredi lawyer that they can use. But they would never send their kids to the same schools that they went to. But that's basically the way it works. Yeah.
But there is a popular move within, at least what I've heard the 5,000 yeshiva, 5,000 Haredi community do, which is like, you go to yeshiva, you get this convoluted bachelor's, and then you score like an 800, whatever.
And then you go to law school.
Yeah.
Okay. Some. You're right. And the truth is, most people cannot do that.
Right.
You're right. There are brilliant people that can do that. I'm just saying that is certainly by far the small, small minority that's capable of doing
it. Those are the guys that we need to be in learning all day.
What?
Those are the guys that we might need to be in.
Look, you have to want to do it. Right? I once said to Rav Darmoni, I don't get it. How do you just sit here and learn all day? Like, I would go nuts. I get antsy during the summer when I'm just like learning. I like teaching. I said, like, Rav Darmoni's got Sephardi party. Okay. But like, I was like saying, like,
1 hour a day.
I know. I was saying, like, if I would win the lottery and I had all the money that I needed, I would still want to teach. To which he like said to me, oh, if you had a charusa like I had a charusa, I don't think that's a good line. He doesn't have that charusa anymore. Whatever. That guy Rav Dyken left. But there are people that are like that. I'm personally not. Yeah.
So, not going into why I'm doing what I'm doing, but like why I chose that subject, why that subject benefits me. But the reason why I'm doing the subject I'm doing is really because it's a means to an end. Not really,
right.
Not really because I'm going to something like, I'm gonna like go into something which is humanities related, but I'm just doing it because I want something in the finance sector. So
right, but you want to broaden your knowledge.
Broaden my knowledge.
Look, I don't know if it's true anymore. When I was in college, they would tell all the guys who wanted to become lawyers. When I was in high school, I thought I was gonna be a lawyer. That's why I looked into this. Don't major in political science, which used to be the thing. Do something different so you're different. Major in English literature and then become a lawyer. And they go, and the law schools will go, oh, this guy's got a broader perspective on things. So, like, right, there is an idea.
Is the same thing, like, oh, the right wing community look down on me just as much because I'm using history as a means to end.
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
How does the argument that secular college versus, like, why you.
So, I'm going to get to that. So, modern orthodoxy feels, I want to try to get. A little bit further. Modern Orthodox, I have no problem staying a little bit afterwards, okay? Modern Orthodox basically feels that our job as Mamlechas Kohanim is to be an Or L'Goyim. So, as Rabbi Lichtenstein put it, we have to study Torah first and foremost. Because, Kim Chayinu, Ve'or Chimeinu. Practically, we have to know the Halacha. But not just to know the halacha, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We have to learn. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. Not just the Hechsher mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in and of itself to learn Torah. And it helps me with coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a Yiras Shamayim. But then we're supposed to apply what we learned to the world at large. We have to understand man's behavior and nature and history and evaluate them according to the Torah. Like one rabbi pointed out, in the Haredi world where people just go into business, which many of you are doing, there's a lot more pitfalls in halacha than there is where you go to a place where you have a salary job. Right? You guys are going to, you guys, when I say you guys, I mean all you business people, you're going to have to worry about Gnevas Das. You know, fraud, tricking people. You're going to have to worry about ribis, interest. You're going to have to worry about onas dvarim, the way you speak to people, onas mamon, overcharging, right? All sorts of different issues that won't come up to me, who's just a salaried employee. And I just get my paycheck. So, like, that's just one thing. And also, just like you said, YU. YU has this dilemma that they are always involved, people from YU, in passing behavior. Yeshiva University, to those who are yeshivas, they say you're a university. And to those who are universities, they say you're a yeshiva. So what does a person from YU do? He tries to show the yeshiva guys he's as yeshivish as they are. He tries to show university people he's as secular. It's like the person, he's always stuck sort of like trying to prove himself. It's a little bit difficult.
I'm kind of referring to like, A lot of like rebellion will say like secret colleges us are.
So I'm gonna get to the things now.
Is that such a bad thing? Like, oh, trying to push the I think it's a great thing
to have fluidity. No, being fluid is fine. I'll just from my own personal experience. When I was younger, I felt the need all the time I was around Haredi people to show them I know how to learn. When I get older, I realized I don't know how to learn. I don't have to prove anything. So I look at myself and I say, oh, they think I'm an Am Haaretz. They're right. I am an Am Haaretz. I don't feel the need to do anything anymore.
Can you use it as an opportunity, though? Because you don't lie. You have an origin to that community. You can speak the lingo.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Let me continue. Now, let's assume we need this like 1% of Gedolim. What about the 99% of all the other people that are sitting there in the yeshiva? So when I ask my Haredi friends, they say, they're needed to produce that 1%. I'm not so sure that's true. Lots of the Gedolim didn't even like learn in yeshivas, like the Chazon Ish, and Rav Herzog, and the Meshech Chachma, and the Rogachev, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Soloveitchik. Like, not so sure how true that is. I'm not so sure that the gifted student, because he also has secular knowledge, is going to be less of a Talmud Chacham. I mean, the Babichal Rebbe certainly wasn't less because he had this broad knowledge of secular studies. Neither was Reb Soloveitchik. Like, I'm not really sure. It's like you say, oh, well, if you go to college, you won't be able to become a Gadol. Don't really think that's true. In this respect, YU is preparing its students to have, like what the Gemara said, umnis kala v'nikia, what a father's supposed to teach his son, a good, honest trade. I guess all the other yeshivas feel every single one of their students are the Yechidei Skula. They're all the 1% exceptions, maybe, I guess. Now, historically, some of our greatest leaders studied secular studies. Sadigo, and the Rambam, Maral, the Vilna Gaon. But to be honest, in the last century, they're few and far between. Today, most people are much more yeshivish. When I said Rav Soloveitchik and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they're like in the short list. You know, most of the other people just learned in yeshiva. Now, this machlokas, whether you should learn secular studies or not, is called a machlokas yeshanahi. Okay, the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, was an expert in philosophy. And his cousin, the Marshal, ripped on him. You know, you have so much time to study philosophy. Why are you studying philosophy? Work on your grammar. Your grammar stinks. All right? And the Ramah is beautiful, because what does Ramah stand for? Moshe Isserles. So he says, quote from Moshe Rabbeinu, "Mav shalosot kva peh v'chad kva lashon anochi." I have a difficult time speaking. Like I was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's so cute. So cute. That's what he responded. But he says to him, "You're bothering about secular studies." He goes, Machlokas Yeshanahi. This goes back to Chazal. Okay, I don't have the time right now, but anyone who wants, I can bring you sources that talk about the evils of learning secular studies and like the positive things about learning secular studies. So like, you know, I'll give you one. Okay, famous Gemara Menachos. We've got the same people that we had before, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Shaul ben Dama. Okay, one guy, ben Dama, who was the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel. He said, what about me? Lamadati kola Torah kula. I already finished Shas. Ma'alamu chachmat Ivanas. Think I go learn like Greek wisdom? Kara lava mikra, to which Rabbi Shmuel, his uncle, responded to him. Lo yimush sefer Torah zemipicha v'gisa v'yom v'layla. You have to learn Torah day and night. Say v'duk sha'asha ino lo min ayom v'lo min alayla. Mo b'chach min yom. Go find out how it's not day or night, and you can go learn your Greek wisdom. Pretty harsh, right? I mean, some want to say, oh, twilight. Like, that's not what he meant, obviously, right? You know, so like he's saying, I guess the answer is no. But this is the same Rabbi Shmuel that I quoted to you in the beginning from Brachos that said, work the field. So what's going on over here? And to make matters worse, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who we said before, Torah Mate Ela, in this Gemara here in Menachos, says you're Yotzei, V'Gisava Yom V'Layla, saying Kriyat Shema in the morning, Kriyat Shema at night. So what happened here? So as far as Shimon Bar Yochai, it's very simple. He's saying, I might be Yotzei, you don't have to have a Tamachachem like that. You know, Torah Mate Ela is still a question. Yes, you say Kriyat Shema every morning, every night, but no one's going to know Torah. So I could understand Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Yeah.
Well, you could say working the field is not going to give you any bad knowledge.
Oh, very good. Good. So some say it was what he asked. I want to learn Chachma Yevanis. That's Usher. That's Usher. That's answer number one. Answer number two is working is not Bitl Torah. Rav Schechter says this all the time. Is it Bitl Torah to sleep? No. Is it Bitl Torah to eat? No. Is it Bitl Torah to, I don't take a shower? No. There are things you need to do. So if I need to work the field so I could support myself, which is what the Gemara says. Gemara says if you don't learn, if you don't work, you won't be able to support yourself and you're going to become poor and you're going to rebel against God. Say, why do this to me? So is it Bitl Torah to work? No.
Yeah, but like most Kola guys figure out a way, even if they're living not well, like they're still
doing. Look. One of my colleagues told me he was in Rabina's office and someone was there, I guess some wealthy donor, and he saw, you know, something or he's had a conversation with Rabina about like, wait, so you pay your staff like this? How do they make a living? He's like looking at the list and he's going, parents, wife, parents. So yeah, there's a way. There might be that, you know, being supported by people. Is that a mechubad way? Is that an honorable way? I don't know. So like a second answer would be, working is not Bitl Torah. Third answer, my favorite, the Chassam Sofer says, working the land in Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So he goes, would anyone say it's Bitl Torah to put on tefillin? No. So that Gemara in Brachos, they're in Eretz Yisrael. Of course not a Bitl Torah. You're involved in a mitzvah. You guys in Chutzaras, you have to be like doing doctors. Otherwise, you're not really doing mitzvahs. But here, you could be a plumber. And you're involved in mitzvahs. You should vary to Israel. Even business here might be helping the economy. I don't know. Yes.
So
or donating to Nativ. I'll put that on there. Make sure that's recorded. Yeah.
So, obviously, there's a focus between Rabbi and Rabbi Adas going. Because Rabbi keeps on saying, oh, it's a mitzvah that's going to Rabbi Shimon Zalman says it's a mitzvah that's going to college. Rabbi Adas says to him, oh, no, you got it wrong.
Look, so, okay. So I'm going to get to that now. Okay. So like I said, there are people, Rabbeinu Bachai, the Rambam, who are well-versed in secular studies. You have the Vilna Gaon saying, if you're lacking in secular studies, you're lacking 100-fold in Torah studies. Right? You need to know certain things. The Rambam says part of your daily schedule of learning should be Parades, and Parades for the Rambam was philosophy. Now, the Vilna Gaon felt that that's not true, Parades was Kabbalah, but I'm just saying there are ideas like this, and the Gemara in Megillah says, Im Yomru, Yomar Lach Adam, Yesh Chachm V'Goyim. If someone says to you that Goyim possess wisdom, Tamin, believe them. They say Yesh Torah b'Goyim, Al Tamen. So they have religion now. But we do believe that Goyim are wise, they have wisdom, why can't I learn from them? So on that hand up?
Yeah, I was saying, Rav Chaim said that it's impossible to learn Kabbalah without like knowing physics,
sure.
Chemistry.
Right, there's so many of these things. Now, the Rama says, okay, I did that. Yes.
Is Vilna Gaon a heter to learn secular studies?
Vilna Gaon learned secular studies.
That's what I'm saying, but when he said, meaning, well, you could say that's the Vilna Gaon. When the Vilna Gaon said, if you don't...
The Vilna Gaon told one of his students, his student said, someone commissioned me to translate Euclid's geometry into Hebrew. Should I do it? He said, absolutely.
Euclid.
He was the Greek, a great mathematician. I always found it interesting that Aguda, you know, when they put up their posters all over the old city, vote for Aguda, Das Torah says vote for Aguda. They had this thing, vote for Aguda because we want to fight against them trying to introduce secular studies. But like, you know, I'm pretty sure they look up to the Vilna Gaon and he thinks that you should. Anyway, they're separate. I always found that interesting. Now, so let's assume you're allowed to go to college. So what can you learn? So at the outset, I want to say that we believe in Judaism that we can always turn every neutral act into a mitzvah. What's a neutral act? Eating. I'm eating and I'm thinking. I'm doing this so I should be healthy, so I can keep mitzvahs. I've already turned my neutral act into a mitzvah. Guys are exercising. Exercise, I should be healthy. So you could turn a neutral act into a mitzvah. And if so, basically anything I'm learning, if I'm having in mind that I'm going to use this, then it could definitely be a mitzvah. But be that as mitzvah, subject by subject. Is it permissible to learn natural sciences? Absolutely. I need the knowledge of natural sciences to understand certain mitzvot. We're told which animals are kosher. It has to have fins and scales after they identify. Rav spent 18 months learning which blemishes on animals are temporary, which are physical. Shmuel was an expert astronomer. You need to know astronomy to figure out the luach. There are certain mitzvot that we needed. And then, just to understand the Gemara, I need to know botany to understand Seder's rhyme. I need to understand geometry to understand Erevin. I need to understand human physiology to understand Nida. Right? There are things that I need just to understand Shas before I get to Kabbalah with the physics. Right? I need to know these things. And it's also needed for Avas Hashem. Right? You recognize the miracles. I once read an article. It said that they did like a survey in a certain college amongst the professors that believe in God. And it was fascinating. The liberal arts college professors said no. Why not? Science has proved that God doesn't exist. And yet when you got to all the science professors, they said, obviously we believe in God. So like, you know, the liberal, they were like reading the Reader's Digest articles, you know. The real scientists said, there's no way to understand this without seeing a miracle. It's a miracle. Right? Like they see it. Okay. What about history? Any heter to learn history? So the truth is, I like history, but I'm just telling you, Shulchan Aruch says bittul zman. But other Achronim say, no, it's not. It's very important to know so you don't appear like an ignoramus. Right? If you're an American and someone says to you, George Washington, you say, who is that? They'll say, what? Right? It would severely curtail your ability to communicate with people. Kal v'chomer, current events. Someone mentions to you Joe Biden, and you say, who's that? Right? So people might say, like, what world are you living in? Now, the truth is, we Americans are so myopic. They say, who's the Prime Minister of Canada or Mexico, neighboring you? I don't know. So whatever, you know, that's a separate issue. Europeans are much more intent. They know everything that's going on in the world. Americans just, it's all about me. But at least we should know about me. Now, the Chazon Ish says, quotes the Pasuk, Sha'al Avicha V'yageidcha, Zekeinecha V'yomulach. You should ask your elders, and they'll tell you. Says the Chazon Ish, you don't need the Chazon Ish to tell you this, but he says, if you don't know history, you're going to repeat it. Right? George Santayana said that. Okay? Rav Shinshvel Hirsch says, and this is the way I view things, you can see Yad Hashem in history. Right? I'm not a science guy. But I see Yad Hashem when I learn Jewish history. I'm saying, wow. That's just remarkable. Yes, Shmuel.
Like they say, you shouldn't, or you should or shouldn't separate the art from the artist. autistic kid or did something terrible.
That's a great question.
People would say not smart and stuff. So with the
you're right. You're right. That is a great question that came up with all the Chaim Walter books that came out, you know, earlier this year. I hear that. I've heard some people decide when he wrote it, if he wrote it before he like started sinning or after. I'll tell you just from one friend of mine. He went to a yeshiva where his Rosh Yeshiva was accused of doing all sorts of stuff with guys. Guys my age. One guy that I know, this friend of mine I'm talking about is a year ahead of me. In West Hempstead, it was a small knit community. I played ball with the guys a year older than me all the time. So I was very friendly with all these guys. And my friend was one guy from my community. Something happened. He's totally irreligious now. Okay? So my friend who's not irreligious, he's from, he told me that people are upset with him because he often praises the Rosh Yeshiva. How could you praise the Rosh Yeshiva? You know what he did? So he said, if let's say I was about to fall into train tracks, train was coming, I was about to die, and some guy saved me, would I not be forever indebted to him? Of course I would. What happens if the guy who saved me was a pedophile? Should I not be indebted to him? So my friend said, I feel Rosh Yeshiva saved my life spiritually. I'm not saying you have to agree with it, but it made me think of things differently. I don't know. I don't know. I know Rabina has problems with Rav Shlomo Karlbach because he touched women. But he asked Rav Yoel. He has no problem with it. Right?
Well, he said he had good.
Okay. Fine. Whatever. I don't know how Kadosh Baruch Hu judges people. I do know that other than Lubavitcher Rebbe, he probably is responsible, Shlomo Karlbach, for being a makariv more people than anyone else in the last generation. Like I said, I'm not God, I'm not giving out the scores.
Well, it's not really what I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm saying, if the non-Jews,
if they're wicked, terrible people,
Jesus and the teaching.
I don't know if it's a problem necessarily for a guy to believe in Jesus. So machlokas is how we view Christianity. Just saying. Anyway, I'm running out of time. So let me say a couple of things. Okay, most things I think it's fine. You can learn humanities if it broadens your understanding. Beautiful story. Okay, unfortunately, we were at Har Herzl, and Avrahami spoke about his cousin that was killed in a training accident. So that happens a lot. Okay, in the Israeli army, you practice with live ammunition. You have to do these things. You can't just play paintball and then, you know, say, oh, when war happens, we'll adapt. And people get killed. And a student in Gush got killed in a training accident, and the whole yeshiva was going to the Levaya. And while Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was giving a hesped for the student, the Chevrei Kaddisha was like pushing him off the stage and like saying, all right, let's move it on, we got another funeral coming. Sometime later, like that week or 2 weeks later, students of Rav Lichtenstein, they would have this thing. I was a student also. It's called a press conference. We asked Rav Aaron, any questions? So some guy asked, sort of like a ridiculous question, considering that he probably knew Rav Aaron has a doctorate in English literature. But the student asked Rav Aaron, is it mutter to learn English literature? Okay, so like I said, either he's an idiot or he wanted him to say yes. So Rav Aaron said, I don't know if it's mutter, but I can tell you one thing. If the Chevrei Kaddisha had learned Hamlet, you know, to be or not to be, they never would have acted the way they did last week. Right, there are things we can glean and we can learn. It doesn't always have to just be Gemara, Gemara, Gemara. We can learn lessons. And he felt that. Now, where do we run into problems? Maybe comparative religions, maybe philosophy. Well, the truth is what Gilad asked, but now he had to leave. The biggest problem in secular university today, I don't think it's philosophy. I don't think it's comparative religion. I don't think it's heresy. I think it's just sex. I had a Hillel rabbi say to me, I long for the days where I had arguments with an apikoros. They're few and far between. People are going off the derech because they want to sleep with this girl. It's not because they intellectually decided there's no God. It's not about that. I said, I wish it was about that. It's been decades since I've had those discussions. He says, now I have to try every little thing to try to get the people in. I show a movie before Slichas on Saturday night so people will be there for Slichas. Because that's where, you know, that's where I'm holding now. So, I don't know if that's really the issue. Rav David Schatz said a beautiful idea. What's between bitachon and hishtadlus? Anyone know?
Very different.
Bitachon, I trust the Kaddish Baruch Hu to do everything. Hishtadlus, I have to do my part. So I said, what's the halacha? The halacha is, even though I can do a little hishtadlus for me, I can have bitachon. But for someone else, let's say Mendel comes to me and says, can you help me out? I can't say, have bitachon. I have to do everything I can to help Mendel, right? Says Rabbi David Schatz, so too we. We have to become all these professionals and help out society. And I'm going to end with one last thing. I said to you when I began that the right wing believes our job is to be Mamleches Kohenim and Goy Kadosh. We just sit and learn that Goyim can do all the other jobs. Said Rabbi Eliezer Berkowitz, that is a gullus mentality. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to come into Eretz Yisrael. If he wanted us to come into Eretz Yisrael, he wanted us to create a civilization here. That is the purpose of the Torah. And if so, we need, here in Israel, doctors and mathematicians and mechanics and plumbers and lawyers and soldiers and policemen and every single profession. Because we're supposed to build a society here. Right? We're going to have Goyim do all of that? Clearly not. But this is built on centuries of, I'm living in Europe, and I don't need to do anything. I'll just end with last thing. I have no problem with someone going to Kollel for a certain amount of time. The same I have no problem with someone being supported. He has a fellowship from university for a certain amount of time. And then after you finish your fellowship, what do you expect it to do? Go out and now teach. Go out and work. Like we helped you get to where you are. My problem is with open-ended kollel. When are you giving back? Now, I know if I was more spiritual, I would say, don't you get it? My Talmud Torah is supporting the whole world. Could be. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know if we need tens of thousands of people doing that. We also need able-bodied people working. And people living in dignity. Like, it drives me crazy when I see people, young people, coming in asking me for tzedakah. I feel like saying, get a job. You know, like, so, if you want to tell me I want to learn in Kollel for 5 years, for 10 years, I want to be a posek, I want to be there 20 years. I have no problem with that. But there are guys in the Kollel here, they were in the Kollel when I first started teaching here 25 years ago. What are they giving back? Some of them I'm friendly with. I told them that. So some guy said, you know, I try to find a job. I can't find a job. Okay, I'm just saying. Could be. Some guys have left and they're doing other things. But I don't know. Like I said, if it's a fellowship, great. You know, even academics. Academics, they get paid. They have to publish. Publish or perish. Right? If you're not writing books. What percentage of Kol guys are actually writing Sfarim? Very small percentage. So, like, they're learning for decades. Now, I'm not saying that for their families might say, this is amazing. I see that my father cares about Torah. And I have so much admiration for them because, as you said, they're living, they're making ends meet, but not in the standard that we'd be used to. Right? Their wives are working. That's the famous joke. You know, they want to do away with Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom because the Kol guy can't live off one wife's salary. That's the married two. But they're living in such meager means. I have so much admiration that Torah is so important that they'll shove 11 kids into a two-room apartment, you know, and it's all about Torah. And I do admire that. And I don't think that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Like I said, for Yechidim, fine. But for tens of thousands of people, where I said to you, today in Israel, you're considered a second-class citizen in the Haredi community, if you have a job, I don't know. I find that problematic. Like I said, the Chazon Ish and Rav Aaron Kotler felt it was the time was calling. Three generations later, is it still the same thing? You know, my friend, I'll end with this one joke. My friend said, we all know the Midrash about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving out the Torah, coming up to Shavuos. So he said in his own way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the Germans and said, do you want the Torah? I said, what's in it? Thou shalt not kill. I'm out. You know, went to the Italians, all the mafia. Said, you want the Torah? So what's in it? Can't steal. I'm out. Went to the French. Want the Torah? What's in it? Can't commit adultery. I'm out. When the Haredim said, you want the Torah? So what's in it? 6 days thou shalt work. I'm out. So, you know, like I said, to summarize, do I feel that Kollel is the right move for some people? Yeah. Certainly for many people, for a set amount of time, yes. I would highly recommend all of you, if you can pull it off, first your marriage, you know, come to yeshiva. A lot of people do it. Your wife go to yeshiva, go to a seminary. You go and have that first year of marriage. We are both just like growing and learning. That's a beautiful thing, you know. But do I believe that this is what it's become? Where in Israel, 80%, if not more, you know, for the rest of their lives, they're just sitting in yeshiva, not making any money. Their wives are expected to do everything. I mean, we write a ksuva which says we're going to support our wives. I don't know. All these guys are signing the ksuva. That's what it says. To support your wife. And yet, it's not like that. So, yeah.
I believe I heard this in the Rabbi Gifford, but I don't. From our color, asked him to come to the Kollel. He said, I signed up my ksuva. I have to support my wife. So that's why he became a rabbi.
I heard that Torah Vadas was going to open up a YU type of program. Then Rav Aaron Cutler said, don't do it, and they listened. Again, that was 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And maybe they were trying to resuscitate Torah. Today, there's more learning going on than ever before in Jewish history. Is it still Horat Sha'ah? My humble opinion, I would think not. So that's my take on college or Kollel. What? So a lot of those guys learn to be like a sofer or a moel or something like that. Right. Hasidim also, much more than misnagdim, Hasidim get jobs. Right. My father made a joke when he retired and moved to Israel. He goes, I'm in the only kol in Shalim where I have to pay to learn. You know, it's obviously one of those adult learning programs. That,
why don't we just work and send our wives to Matan?
What?
Why don't we just work and send our wives to Matan?
Look, I do believe that you should be a knowledgeable person. I don't think you have to be threatened if your wife's also knowledgeable. Right? There are guys that are scared to marry someone who knows more than they do. I don't think you have to feel threatened. I had one student say to me, you know, he's marrying this girl. He sent me a picture. He goes, look, Rabbi, she's good looking and she's smart, which is good because one of us had a baby. Unfortunately, that marriage didn't last that long. But whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about
I got divorced.
What about secular college?
Secular college, I didn't speak about it now, but I would think the biggest problem with secular college is secular dormitories. And therefore, I don't have as much of a problem of going to Queens College.
Going, what about if you're like dorming in an apartment?
Right. So like, if let's say you're going to Baruch, right? You're going to NYU. You got an apartment with religious guys somewhere near YU, and you're learning, a lot of people do, and you're learning in the Beis Medrash at night in YU, and you have friends. Look, we're influenced by our friends. As Shmuel said before, throughout the day, your friends are going to be goyim, your values are going to be different. If you just go to classes and you don't socialize, you like do your academic work on your own, and then you're like socializing with guys in the Beis Medrash, then I think that you're doing okay, right? But if you go to like a Binghamton, you go to like a Maryland where it's the whole culture, I'm in a dormitory. And so then, I thought, guys used to ask me, no one's done it anymore, guys in the past used to ask me for, if you write a recommendation for me to go to these schools? And I would say, no. And I said, I can't. I don't think you should go.
Usher?
What?
Usher?
I don't know if it's Usher, but I'm saying like, I don't know if I would have stayed for him. Are there people that stay from? Yes. Okay, but I think they're the minority. Right? I don't know if I would have been strong enough, even after 2 years of Israel, had I gone to a secular dormitory college, that I would have been able to withstand all the temptations. I don't know.
Thank you.
Is this recorded?
Yeah.